Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Welcome, everyone, to a late afternoon, early evening episode of the Theology Central podcast. It is Wednesday, June the 16th, 2021. It is currently 4:59 p.m. Central Time. And as always, I'm coming to you live from the sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas, where it is way too hot outside. But you don't really care about the weather. I understand. You don't care. I like to do a lot of complaining about the weather because no matter what the temperature is, I'm always unhappy with it because I don't like being outside for really anything. Here's my theory. Human beings have spent a very long time perfecting inside, so there should never be another reason to ever go outside for any reason at all. If I want to see what outside looks like, I have a 65-inch ultra high def 4K television, and I can watch Blue Planet, Planet Earth, one of those nature documentary series, and beautiful, stunning, ultra-high-def 4K, and I can see outside. There's no other reason to go outside, because outside, it's either going to be too cold, it's going to be too hot, it's going to be too windy, there's going to be bugs. I'm staying inside. So I'm here inside, and wherever you may be, but we're here. Not to even talk about my constant complaining about outside, which I know is not very scriptural because I'm supposed to do all things without grumbling and complaining, which obviously I don't always fulfill. I don't. And you know what? Probably you complain about things as well, which is a constant reminder of why we need a Savior, because we are constantly in sin all the time. So aren't we glad that our salvation is not based on what we do, can do, should do, need to do, or try to do? It's based on everything Christ did, all right? Very important theological reminder, all right? Now, talking about theology, we are back to our mini-series where we are looking at Bethel Church's attempt to clarify their doctrine. Bethel Church is releasing a series of videos, and Bethel Church, for those who don't know, is located in Redding, California. Bethel Church is one of the most influential churches in the United States of America. Some may argue one of the most influential churches around the world. We could have that debate, but they're definitely influential here in the United States of America. Bethel Church has also been surrounded with a lot of controversy and a lot of people making a lot of claims about them on the internet. Now, some of the things that led to some of this controversy is where you have a 2-year-old girl who dies, and instead of, I don't know, planning for the funeral and comforting the family, you decide you're going to hold some services, you know, where you're going to wake, and the name of the little girl was Olive. You're going to wake up Olive. You're going to bring her back to life. There's going to be a resurrection, which never occurred. And of course, that got widespread mainstream news coverage because they're like, what is going on with those people in Redding, California? But with all of that controversy, and I'm not going to go through everything else that has happened at Bethel, they're attempting to help people rediscover Bethel Church, an attempt to clarify their beliefs. Now, what I've heard so far is not very comforting, all right? How can we paraphrase what we've heard so far? This is, in fact, I'm going to have to fix this because we're live right now. I did not put part three. This is actually part three. I'll have to fix that. But in part one and part two, let me summarize kind of what we found, what we discovered. Right? Here's what we discovered in part one and part two, that Bethel Church basically almost created this idea that, you know what, it doesn't really matter what we believe because it's just all different expressions. And God, we should celebrate diversity. So you know what, we shouldn't really be too critical. Other people have different beliefs. We have our beliefs. They do it their way. We do it our way. And somehow it's all just fine and good. And to me, that is a red flag because I think false doctrine always hides behind that kind of mentality. Hey, don't be super critical of us. Hey, you can do it your way. We can do it our way. We're all still Christians. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. False doctrine loves to hide behind the unity thing. And no, I don't care how much you want to be unified. I don't care how loving you think we should be. I don't care how much you think we should hold hands, sing kumbaya, have a Coke and a smile. Doctrine still has to be critiqued, analyzed in light of Scripture. And if it's false, it's false. And that's just the way that works. So that was already problem number one. They went on so far to say, to show you how diverse they are, they talked about having a Catholic priest minister to them, and that was somehow a good thing, which I guess now the doctrine of justification doesn't even matter because a Catholic priest can minister to you. So I guess the whole Protestant Reformation was a waste of time. I guess it doesn't matter what you believe about justification. A bizarre thing. They went on to tell us that the Pope speaks for God. I wasn't aware of that. So I don't know why Bethel Church hasn't become Roman Catholic. So he speaks for God. He's just not the only one who speaks for God, I think is how they stated it. So he speaks for God, but other people speak for God. So I guess you can have multiple people speaking for God, saying completely contradictory things to one another, and somehow, hey, it's all good, and it's all wonderful, and it's all great. Because I guess ultimately what Bethel, and they're clarifying their beliefs, is destroying the importance of theological distinctives and theological truth. I guess that's what they're attempting to do. It was bizarre beyond anything I can't even explain. I'm still baffled by what I heard. And then they moved on to basically the idea that healing is basically what God wants for everyone. It's not God, if you will, it is his will. It is God's will to heal everyone. And there's so many problems with that teaching. We won't even go into all of it, but that's kind of where we ended. So what we want to do is see if we can bring this to some kind. I don't think we're going to be able to bring this to any kind of conclusion today, but we're going to try to advance this as far as we can. So I've backed up the audio just a little bit. They're talking about clarifying their beliefs about healing, and we're going to let them. Now, he's already established that it's God's will to heal everyone, but then he tells kind of a bizarre story where one time he was praying for someone, but he was basically felt inside of himself that if he prayed to heal this person, it would grieve God. So he didn't pray to heal the person, which would seem to indicate that it wasn't God's will to heal that person. But I guess he would argue it wasn't God's will to heal that person at that time. So yeah. So then again, now you're getting God giving you some kind of instructions, telling you when to pray for someone, when not to pray for someone, which then gets beyond extra biblical revelation, which is another problem with the whole charismatic world. The whole thing is just crazy. So to me, what I'm going to need is after they're done with their 6-part, 7-part, 8-part series to clarify the beliefs of Bethel Church, I'm going to need them to make another set of videos so that they can clarify their clarification, because their clarification is a theological train wreck. That's where we are so far, but let's jump back in and let them talk and see what they have to say, and we will examine this carefully using Scripture, church history, theology, logic, common sense, rationality, I don't know. Let's just see where they go with this.
And so
it was a different idea. It wasn't like if it's your Lord, if it's your will.
Having that
in your prayer or in your thought life. Because in your it's like practical theology. Like you approach everybody like the Lord's going to move right now.
Yeah. And I can't pray if it's your will, because for me that's a prayer of unbelief.
Okay.
Because he's already revealed to me it is his will. In his provision for healing, and personally I use Isaiah 53, but you can come at it from many different angles. Yeah.
All right, so he's going to use the whole Isaiah 53, by his stripes we're healed. And so based off that, healing is guaranteed for everyone. God has revealed it to him. Healing is guaranteed for everyone. It's his will to heal everyone. All right, again, if it's God's will to heal everyone, why does anyone die? So clearly there's one thing that every person will not be healed of, because they're all going to die of something. So there's already number one. So it can't be his will to heal everyone every single time, number one. Number two, How many millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of examples of people being prayed for and dying do you need before you realize that your whole theology is bankrupt, corrupt, messed up, confused, deceived, and should be abandoned and should not even be a part of anything remotely close to Christianity? It should be pushed into a category of a false religion. Because over and over and over, people are prayed for and they die and they die and they die and they die. And people get sick and people get sick and they die and they die and they die. 22 years in the medical world, I don't know how many times I saw charismatics claiming healing was coming and it never showed up. Over and over and over again. How many times? And then how many times do you have charismatics claiming we had 50 people healed? And then take the investigative journalists. They go find the people. Okay, so who was healed? Who was healed? Okay, let's go. And they go follow up. And guess what? The person wasn't healed. The person died. How many times has that happened? Why? So therefore you lied. You claimed people were healed and they were not healed. So now not only is your doctrine bankrupt, you are a liar. Now that's even another problem. The whole charismatic world you should flee it like the building is on fire because it's a mess. And I just, Isaiah 53:53, by his stripes we are healed. Yes, we are healed from our sin, from the penalty of our sin. That's salvation. And then we are ultimately healed by his stripes because when we reach heaven, we will receive a glorified body. Well, there'll be no more pain, no more sickness, and no more death. But that is not a guarantee of healing right here on this earth. And the reason we know that is because the reality around us. Charismatics have been running around this country for years claiming healing, 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 healing. And people keep dying. People keep dying. Hospitals keep getting filled up. And charismatic churches are on every corner going, we're healing people. Well, go empty the graveyard. Go empty the cancer ward. Go empty it. But they don't do anything. They claim with suspect claims that usually when investigated fall apart and nothing of actual tangible proof is ever given to demonstrate that it is occurring on anything close to a wide scale reality that would be the case if it is God's will that everyone is healed because by his stripes we're healed so that physical healing is guaranteed now. It would be one charismatic church and one city and you would just close the hospital down. But it doesn't work. I worked in the hospital with charismatics who never healed one person. I worked with charismatics who claimed divine healing and they never healed one person in that hospital. And again, what I want to see, if you claim this, look, there, I don't know how many people came back from Iraq or Afghanistan missing arms and legs. I go to the VA hospital a lot and I see people without arms and without legs. Where are the charismatics? I want you to heal that. Bring back an arm, bring back a leg. They don't. I get so sick and tired of charismatics. And their insanity. I mean, I start questioning people's mental sanity to believe this nonsense. So I don't even know why they're offering a video to clarify. It's the same standard nonsense that charismatics have been teaching forever that I 100% reject. And again, maybe it's because I worked in the medical world for 22 years. Maybe, but I mean, come on. Now, you say, well, here's one. Look, don't give me one case. If healing is guaranteed because of what Christ did, by his stripes, we're all healed, and it's guaranteed, it wouldn't be like, well, here's one remote case of someone who in a remote village in Africa. Now, we don't really have any medical records, and we don't really have any actual tangible proof, but I heard about this person who was raised from the dead. Look, it wouldn't be in some remote place in Africa. It would be happening right here in this. I mean, I drive past the cemetery every single day coming to the church. That cemetery would be emptied out. I live, 5 minutes from Hendricks Hospital on the south side of that hospital would be emptied out. It wouldn't be just like here's one example. That's always what you get from charismatics. Well, here's this one case. And then you have to spend like three months trying to investigate it. Okay, who was the person? Okay, where was the hospital? Then you're trying to find out. And the hospital can't give you information because of HIPAA. And you're trying to investigate. And then in many cases, you'll find out that it was fraudulent. But by that point, the charismatic who made the claim is already gone. But it should be all over the news. Millions of people are being healed around the country. No, it doesn't happen. How many plagues have happened around the world? How many pandemics, epidemics? How many millions of people die? But charismatics just keep, I don't even know how with a straight face you can say these things. This is the part that just drives me crazy. All right, let's continue more about their healing concepts.
It's an aspect of the kingdom, which is a present reality. Jesus made provision for it, so I have to pursue it in that light. Mm-hmm. And then, but in my reality, it's appointed unto man to die. So there is a point of death, and I don't know that should be the subject now. But I remember praying for this lady. I was visiting. It was a mother of one of our staff members, and I was in. She had been sick for a while, and as I was praying for her, I could tell she's supposed to go home. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to go home. That's an awkward moment. It's
now a couple of things. She'd been sick for a long time, so why wasn't she already been healed? That's number one. Number two, but it was her time to go home. So he at least acknowledges. I'm glad that there's always going to come one point where healing isn't guaranteed. Isn't that convenient? By his stripes we're healed. But wait a minute. There's always going to be one thing that's going to kill you. So healing is guaranteed, but not ultimately. There's going to be one thing that's going to kill you. So it's guaranteed, but it's not guaranteed. So by his stripes, you're healed kind of until it's time to die. Isn't that convenient? So anytime you pray for someone and they die, well, then the get out of free jail card is, well, it was their time to go. Well, what if you've been praying for someone for 7 years and they don't get better? Well, that's the thing that's going to kill them. So it doesn't count. So do you have a get out of free jail card or not? Is it by his stripes we're healed, but there are the following 72 exemptions to that promise. Is that a promise or is it not a promise? I don't know exactly how this whole thing works.
It's not as a pastor because we're in those situations often, but to pray for that is a bit awkward for me. I don't have the impartation of death,
Yes, I hope not.
but to pray, Father, I just pray that you just fill her with peace and that in your perfect timing, you would take her home. She went home within, I think, 2 hours.
Wow.
She had been sick for a while. So there was something that took place just, I don't know. It was more like maybe releasing. Sometimes people will hold on because of a sense of obligation or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know how any of that works, so that's way above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But there was that prayer of blessing and release, and the Lord took her home.
So it's intriguing to me, though, because even though if you don't have it, if it's your will, but you do have the I will keep listening to the Holy Spirit's voice as I'm moving in my prayer for this person.
Absolutely.
And so it's not quite a formula. Every once in a while, it feels a bit like that. Like we kind of say, just assume God wants to heal everybody because that was the model of Jesus. And so I think when we're talking to students, we're like, yeah, just have confidence. The Lord wants to heal everyone.
Yes, yes.
But you're modeling a little bit of like, so have faith, move in confidence, but keep listening?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Okay. But
and then this adds even more to the charismatic confusion because— Now, okay, it's God's will, but keep listening. So I got to keep listening. Now, what am I listening to? I'm not listening to scripture. I'm listening to a voice. I'm listening to a feeling. I'm listening to something. It could be my own feeling. It could be God. It may not be God. It could be this. It could be how do you even live your life trying to figure that nonsense? How about do this? You know what I'm going to listen to? I'm going to pick up my Bible and read it. That makes more sense to me than trying to figure out this, okay, all right, is that God? Is that not God? Is it could be God? Okay, maybe I got that right. Maybe I got that wrong. It just leads to never-ending confusion.
But my listening isn't solved.
Is it going to happen, yes or no?
It's not so I can figure out, do they die or do they live? It's, yeah, okay. You know, it's not that. It's I'm listening because what do you do? Yeah. Because sometimes I'll be praying for somebody and I can tell, oh, they need to forgive someone. Mm. And so I won't accuse them. I say, you have unforgiveness. I won't do that. Right, I'll just say, hey, just out of curiosity, sometimes this helps us to mm-hmm. see somebody get healed. Can you think of anyone that you need to forgive? And I've had people say, oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I got to stand up here for a second. Okay. All right. Oh boy. Okay. Wow. Now, you may not be bothered by what was just said, but I want you to take the implication. He prays, and he knows, because it's supposedly revealed to by God, that the reason this person's not being healed is because they haven't forgiven someone. Do you understand how psychologically evil this is? Here's someone suffering. Well, maybe the reason you're not being healed is because you haven't forgiven someone. And then I'll forgive anyone. Forgive. Oh, well, okay. I'm sorry. Well, that didn't work. Maybe next. Maybe you got to. Is there some other sin? Okay. I confess this sin. Okay. This is so evil to do to people. There's someone longing to be healed, and then it's like, well, maybe you're not being healed because of you've got sin in your life. You didn't forgive someone. Well, how do you dare approach that line? How do you dare say, and then try to act like God told you that? Oh, see, you know what? We're not going to make it through all of this. I'm just going to make it very clear. Like, I don't need to go through all the videos about the clarification of Bethel's belief. They're already proving to me. I don't even know why they're clarifying. There's nothing to clarify. They're just as heretical as you were before you did the clarification videos. In fact, I am more convinced that maybe you're more heretical than I originally thought. But this reaches to the level of almost absolute spiritual abuse. To have someone who needs to be healed and you somehow imply the reason you're not being healed is because you haven't forgiven someone. Whoa, back that up. Now, I understand that God can bring chastisement, but here's what I know. When there was a group of men hanging out with their friend who was suffering in every way possible, they started down that path. Well, you know, there's probably sin in your life. And all of those men who were hanging out with their friend turned out to all be wrong because their friend's name was Job, who didn't do anything wrong, and he was suffering. So you don't never have the way to know. Now, you can always, and every Christian should be instructed, not while they're in the midst of suffering, but they should be instructed to understand that, yes, there's time God brings chastisement upon our life. So we always want to be realizing that, you know, that it could be chastisement, and we have to confess and we have to deal with that. But you don't say, well, God's withholding healing for you because you didn't forgive someone. You got to be very careful how you would ever even imply that. Oh, what kind of nonsense. It's like, this is evil. This is not even, forget this is not Christian. This is evil nonsense. And I've heard charismatics tell people, well, the reason you're not being healed is because you got sin in your life. How dare you say that? When I hear charismatics say that kind of stuff, I literally have to walk away. Everything rises up in me, and it's at times an evil anger. I'm just going to be honest with you. That is just cruel, messed up stuff. man, alive. How? Yeah, there's a seven-year-old in the cancer ward dying of some childhood cancer. Well, you know what? You know what, Johnny? The reason God's not healing you is, you know, possibly because you haven't forgiven your brother when he took that cookie from you. Yeah, whatever. And he said, well, I wouldn't say it in that situation. I may say it to the parents. Oh, just don't even imply it, okay? All right? Don't even imply it. Not in the midst of that. Man, what kind of evil, twisted. It's all. I can't believe that that would even be inferred. I can't. Man. And again, I am very aware that God can bring chastisement. But we don't know. That's the thing. Who am I to say? I mean, we got an entire book in the Bible where all of the friends, all of the people telling Job that he was going through it because of sin were all wrong. Every single one of them were wrong. So, no. If someone was to ask me, hey, I'm suffering going through this, do you think it's because of chastisement? I would say, I don't know. You know your life. You know your relationship with God. You know if you've confessed that sin. I can't tell you that. It would be impossible for me to tell you that. But man, who am I to go to someone because they're not being healed and then somehow infer that possibly, you know, well, have you forgiven everyone? Because sometimes this helps in healing. That's a nice way of saying, well, maybe you're not being healed because you haven't been forgiving people. I mean, that's just, okay. I got to continue. I really want to stop. I just want to stop right now. I really want to just stop. But we'll try to finish as much of this as we can. I don't know if we're going to do another part. If people want me to do more, I will. But I don't know if I can stomach more of this. I mean, this our first video is just a theological mess. I mean, I don't even know. Well, what more do you need? I don't know.
Oh. And I said, well, who would that be? And so they'll tell me. And I don't ask for great detail because sure. I don't need to embarrass anybody. Mm-hmm. But I say, how about we forgive them? And I've seen it time and time again. Wow. They say, okay. And they forgive them, and then they're healed. So I'm listening not to see if they live or die.
Yeah.
Because I expect them to live. I just want to know, what do you want me to do?
What are you up to?
You know, Jesus, at one point, he just declares the word, go home, your servant is alive, he's well. To another, go wash in a pool of Siloam. You know, there's different directives at different times. And I've had moments in where I've given somebody a direction, somebody who's missing a part of a muscle in their leg. Mm-hmm. And I said, just walk to the back and then come and see me. And by the time they got to the back and came back to see me, the Lord had done that miracle. Wow. So there was an action that was.
The Lord regrew a muscle that was missing. He regrew a muscle. Please, please, I beg you, please send me those medical records. Please send me those medical records. I'll pay for the shipping. Get me those medical records. I want to see this. I want to go talk to the doctor. Hey, you diagnosed this person with a missing muscle and they went to church and then they came back and the muscle was there. Do you have any medical explanation? What are you talking about? The muscle was there. That's a lie. Okay, I want to hear that because I've heard doctors tell me that patients have claimed that kind of stuff, and they're like, it was an absolute complete lie. They're just lying, claiming that they're healed of something. It's just a complete lie. First, that wasn't even the diagnosis, and second, they still have the problem, even though they're telling me they don't have the problem. It's right there on the X-ray. The tumor is still there. It's not gone. I don't care what your pastor told you. He's out of his absolute mind. Man, alive, what? And again, please note the way this works. So we do things the way Jesus did it. Jesus was the eternal Son of God. All right? And there was no conspiracy or... There was no controversy. When he healed someone, it was never an issue. Well, I don't know if he really healed. Everyone knew that the healing was real. It was like, well, how did, I guess it was a conspiracy in the sense of how did he do it? But there was no question about him doing it. There wasn't like, wait a minute, we did some investigation and Jesus, you didn't really heal that person. That was a lie. There was never a question about the healing. Even if his enemies acknowledged the healing. It was like, is he doing this by the power of Satan? That was the issue. There was never questions. But charismatics always have these stories. They have so many stories. story after story, and it's just like with all those people being healed, I'm telling you, with every charismatic church making all of their claims about healing, it should be like, it should just be everywhere, common knowledge, everywhere. Like, you know, so many healings that are documented and factual, it should not even be called into question.
Needed for faith to be illustrated. Mm-hmm. It wasn't some noble act. You know, I'm not asking some guy to jump on his broken ankle. That's not necessary. That's showmanship, and we don't need that. Mm-hmm. But what we do need is to give people an action to connect their faith to. And I've seen it time and time again. It may be the forgiveness issue. It may be just a simple act of some sort. But
even the forgiveness, you don't use it as a formula. It's you're probably sick because you have unforgiveness.
No.
Like it's not that. No. It's you're listening for the leading of the Holy Spirit in that moment. What's the step of growth and transformation for this beloved person that's in front of you?
Exactly.
How can I help? How can I be part?
So exactly. Jesus didn't use that formula. That's the reason I don't.
Yeah. He
didn't have that as a cookie cutter response.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have four steps that he went through with each person. He did different. So I'm just trying to learn that.
Yeah. So is it the role of faith then? Like, how is someone not healed because they didn't have enough faith? Is that like our standard line? Like, you weren't healed because you didn't have enough faith. So what's that relationship of faith and healing?
Faith is an issue. I would never want to downplay it because Jesus honored it, you know, when he saw it. You know, mm-hmm. he'd say, man, I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel. Yeah. And so he would celebrate great faith. But the thing to remember is even when he saw tiny, tiny faith, like the guy who says, if you can, you know, you question God's ability, if you can, would you heal my son? Jesus turns the table. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to mm-hmm. those who believe. So the point is that even where there was very small faith, he still brought the miracle, but he would address the level of faith before he did the miracle, I think, to give them access to move stronger in faith. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we will, discipline's maybe a hard word, but we will correct somebody on our team that ever points to another person and says, you weren't healed because you didn't have faith. Yeah. That's cruel.
Yeah.
That's just cruel.
Absolutely.
And the scripture says it's the prayer of faith that heals the sick.
Yeah.
So it's not the person even who's coming. Sometimes I'll have people come and they say, man, I just don't even have faith for this. And there are times I feel, it's only happened a few times, but there are times I feel the presence of God, the word of the Lord in that moment so strong, I'll tell them, you don't have to have any faith. I have enough for both of us. Mm-hmm. I wish that was the standard, but it's not. It's just rare.
It's not, though.
All right, so if a person is not healed, okay, it could be because they haven't forgiven someone, but it's not a lack of faith because it could be the problem with the person doing the praying because they could technically have enough faith for both of them. So then technically, a charismatic could walk into a hospital of people who are even unbelievers who have no faith, and you should have enough faith to be able to heal all of them. Then go do it! Go do it! Please, go do it! I'm begging you. I mean, I would have loved to be in the medical world and just, okay, look, hey. Doctors, I know you don't believe this. I think you believe it's all nonsense, but this guy has enough faith to heal everyone here. So y'all just sit in your office. Today, they're going to heal everyone who comes in, no matter what it is, no matter how serious. Doesn't matter. If they fall on the floor and they go into cardiac arrest, we will not call a code blue. We will not do any life-saving measures. This person will simply heal them. And let's see how well that works in a medical facility. Yeah, let's see it works. Yeah. We know how it's going to work. People aren't going to be healed like that. Why are people not healed? It's God's will, but not everyone's going to be healed. It could be because they haven't forgiven, but it's not a lack of faith because the person praying can have enough faith for both. Aren't you glad they're clarifying? Oh, I'm so glad. It clarifies so much for me.
No, I wish. But I've had it happen. I've had it happen where I was so confident that God is on this moment. Yeah. And I know usually when people are evaluating their faith, they come up short always.
Yeah.
And so they don't always know how to look for faith in their own life. And so that's why I try to steer them away from it. I say, listen, I'll believe for both of us. Yeah. And it's not to turn attention towards me, obviously.
Right.
But listen, I'll stand for both of us. And then we'll see a miracle. Yeah. And so we never turn it towards the person. I want them to have great faith, of
totally.
Course.
We all want to be growing in faith. And
absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. But I'm not going to blame them for the outcome, mm-hmm. you know.
We talk about sometimes that faith, the Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So yeah. faith's in the equation somewhere. Like yeah. faith needs to be operating at some level.
Yeah.
But we talk about just, it might be the prayer, it might be the prayee, it might be the environment.
Yeah.
And then we've all seen some unusual miracles when there's no faith, like doesn't feel like we had much faith, doesn't feel like they had much faith, and the Lord moved. So even kind of like demanding it's there doesn't seem to make a ton of sense in our practical experience
yeah,
where the
exactly.
Lord's moved when neither one expected much to happen.
Exactly. I treat faith like I open a jar, whatever was in there just evaporated. So if I go look for faith in me, it's just the wrong direction for me.
Yeah.
My approach is I can always obey. I can always obey whatever he says.
And have confidence in who he is.
Exactly.
Yeah,
My obedience is based on who he is.
Yeah.
He's given me a direction. Put your hand on the blind eye. I can sense that's what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can always obey. At the end, I can look back and say, that took faith, or it's just raw obedience, or it's just, you know, the bottom line is always just the grace of God.
Yeah.
So,
And I imagine this conversation with the Lord, too, because once there's a miracle happens or it doesn't, it's like, Papa, what was that about? What happened there where you're trying to learn his ways in that moment, and then also what the Lord is up to in his multifaceted wisdom of, you know, because we've had folks who don't get healed in that moment, but weeks later, or, you know, folks healed after 8 years of being prayed for.
Yeah.
And you're like, Papa, what? Why now?
I don't ask why, but I want to learn what he's like.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't need an explanation. Mm-hmm. I'm not offended by a process.
Mm-hmm.
I stay as far away from that as I possibly can. I don't analyze the situation. Why did this happen now, not before, or whatever. I celebrate when it happens. If it doesn't, that's where enduring faith comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was in a meeting where a gal came up for prayer, and I just started to, you know, if we have a default, it's that we lay hands on somebody and pray.
Yeah.
And I just started to pray. They had arthritis in every joint of their body, every part of their body. They were just crippled with pain. And I went to start to put my hand up, and I felt so strong. The Holy Spirit said, don't touch them. And then I thought, well, I'll just begin to pray. And he said, don't even pray. He said, just watch. And so as I'm standing there talking to the person, I was trying to figure out, what do I do? What do I do? You know, because there's got to be some point of contact for faith or something, you know. And I felt this is a little strange, but I felt this heat on the back of my neck. And I went, is the Lord touching your neck and your shoulder area right now? And the lady went, yeah. I said, well, is there any pain left? She goes, no, there's none whatsoever. And then I started realizing, oh, the Lord is showing me, literally, I had have a sensation on my body and I could tell what just got healed.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't allow me to pray. He wouldn't allow me to touch, nor would he allow me to give the command as Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
He would give the command.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't allow me to do it. But he showed me just my arms. I could feel this presence of God on my arms. I said, move your arms around. And they did until it went all the way down their knees and their feet, and they were completely healed.
Wow.
But it's the willingness to look dumb, first of all. You know, you have to embrace that part, because sometimes you're going to think you're hearing from God and you're not, and you own up to it.
We don't perfectly hear.
Yeah, we own up.
Sometimes you think you're hearing from God, but you're not. Okay. You always get, they've got a 900 different escape routes here. Right? Okay. Well, okay. It could be, I mean, we don't tell someone they don't have a lack of faith, because I could have faith enough for you, but it doesn't always work out that way. It could be because you haven't forgiven someone, but it doesn't always work out that way. It is God's will that you're healed, and he made provision, because by his stripes we're all healed. So we're all healed, but not all people get healed. But then I've got all these crazy stories about people get healed. And sometimes I hear from God, and well, sometimes I don't know if it is God. It's like, what in the world? It's just, There's no objective anything here. It's just subjective. And again, it's the typical charismatic, tell the story. Here was this woman. She had all arthritis through her whole body. How do you know this? Well, because she said so. Then she claimed she was healed, so she was healed. Do you have any medical documentation? Do you have any? No, don't have any. You don't need anything. You just have someone claim something, and then you believe it, and then boom, it's true. And then you go tell the story as if it's true. Then someone hears that going, well, I've got arthritis wrecking my entire body. I've seen people with their whole bodies wrecked with arthritis. Oh, they never got healed, but okay, maybe if they go to Redding, California, they will get healed because, you know, it's, oh, boy. Man. See, this is literally where I can't stomach it. I can't stomach this. You don't even understand it physically. Like if you could right now, like my head literally is pounding. It's just like literally this. You don't even understand how upset it makes me. Of all the suffering that I have seen in the world, and to have these people just act like healing, it can just happen. It's almost like it's an adventure. Well, today we'll see how God's going to heal this person. It's God's going to heal this person. And charismatics all around the world talk about this, and where are you? Where? Dying, death, disease, despair. Where are you? But they've always got these stories, always got these stories. I mean, why is the medical profession what it is? Remember when Oral Roberts was going to have a healing hospital? Yeah, that worked out. Oh, no, that didn't work out. Every time. Well, why do we have in every city multiple hospitals? The medical cost in this country, bazillions of dollars. I'm just throwing out, you know, a hyperbole, bazillions of dollars. And we're charismatics in every city claiming healing. But doesn't stop the medical profession. Why? Instead of Christians going in front of abortion clinics and protesting, why don't we just go in front of hospitals because we're pro-life and just heal everyone who pulls up in the parking lot? Just stand in front of the emergency room. Okay, you know. Pray, you're healed. The ambulance pulls up. They're healed. Get them out of the ambulance. Okay. Oh, wait, what are you going to? You're healed. And then before long, the whole hospital will just shut down. Instead of people going to the hospitals, they go to the church to get healed. It doesn't work that way. It's never going to work that way. But no matter, you just hear these claims, and it just makes me so mad. And I'm telling you, I don't know why it doesn't make other Christians mad. Other Christians are just like, well, you know, they're my charismatic friends. I don't get it. It just makes me so upset. It really does. It really does. That's why I just can't tolerate charismatic theology. I cannot stomach it. And I know you'll I'm charismatic, but I'm not that charismatic. Look, if you hold into your theological system that healing is guaranteed by what Christ did on the cross right here now on this earth, then I'm sorry, you are the worst kind of charismatic. I don't care what else you don't do. That theology is horrific. Healing is not guaranteed for anyone right here and right now. We go through this life, there's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering, death. Am I saying God cannot heal? He can, but if he does, it's a supernatural thing, meaning it's special and it is unique. It's not the common way of doing things. It is not the norm, and it's by no means guaranteed, because I've watched way too many people not be healed and way too many people die. And if you don't believe me, you just get a job in the medical world, okay? Just get a job in the medical world. Watch how many people die. Watch how many people suffer. Get a job in a cancer ward. There you go. That's a wonderful place to work. Oh, that's beautiful. How about hospice? That's another wonderful place to work. Yeah, I can give you a number of places to work where people are suffering and dying with horrible diseases and they're not being healed. And I don't care how many people walk around claiming they're going to be healed. They end up dying. Happens all the time.
up to it, but other times you do, and it encourages you in the journey to live with the kind of risk that it takes to see those kinds of miracles. But I didn't pray one prayer, didn't command one thing, mm-hmm. didn't do anything that I would typically do in that context, and they were healed head to toe.
I want to get back to enduring faith that you mentioned, and yep. but it strikes me that what you're saying, it has a lot of nuance. And so sometimes when we teach, the nuance isn't there. We, you know, it's God's will to heal everybody. You know, just pray with faith, and here we go, and pray for your neighbor. So we'll lead in bold strokes sometimes that are necessary for people to break into new experiences. Or sometimes we don't know what the Lord will do in those moments when you just have people turn to the congregation and pray for each other and healing breaks out. So it's there's a moment of faith. But you're describing, again, not a mechanism.
I hate when they say healing breaks out. People claim healing is occurring. You don't know if any healing actually occurred until you have some form of a medical diagnosis to determine that they had it, then they no longer have it, and it's gone, and there's no medical explanation. Again, I've seen it before. Here's big charismatic church in town. Multiple people go to that church Sunday night. They claim, you know, they you know, you can listen to their preaching because the sermon is posted, say, Monday morning. On the way to work on Monday morning, I'm listening to it, and they're like, this person's being healed and healing and healing and healing. And they got people claiming, you know, going to the microphone saying, I was healed of this and healed of this. And I have heard those very people who claim they were healed on Sunday night calling us Monday morning to get an appointment for the very thing they told the church that they were healed for on Sunday night, making them an absolute liar. And when I pick up the phone, I almost want to say, wait a minute, I heard you this morning on the sermon from your church claim that you were healed from this. Get off my phone. Go somewhere else. Or repent of the lie that you told your whole church Sunday night that you were healed of it because you're coming up for an appointment for the very thing. Now, you could argue, well, they came in to find out if it was gone. Well, I can guarantee you, in all the cases I ever saw, they weren't coming in for it was gone, because when they tell you the reason, they're like, well, I'm still having this problem, I'm still having this pain, or this has still been going on. They don't know. I think I've been healed, and I want. No, that's not how they gave the appointment. No, they're still having problems. That's how they listed it. So I've watched that happen way too many times. Well, they're literally there on the sermon claiming that they were being healed. You weren't healed. So why were you telling everyone? It's almost like it just becomes like, hey, someone better step up and claim that they were healed. And they make the claim, and then you find out later that they were not healed. There's been too many studies of that happening. They claim they were healed, and then you meet them 3 weeks later. Well, you know, I was just trying to speak it into existence. I was just saying, yes, I've been healed. I was claiming it, but no, I haven't been healed as of yet. I'm still having the problem, or I still have the limp, or no, I'm still in the wheelchair, or you know, no, I'm still blind, or no, I'm still deaf, or yes, I'm still missing my right arm, or no, I'm still missing my left leg. You know, you claimed whatever, but then it doesn't happen. And it's just, so I guess I'm tired of it. Healing broke out. They always make these claims, and then there's no verification of any of it. And there's no, I don't understand how rational people can be a part of that. Like, if I was sitting there, I'd be like, I would be like having a million problems. Wait a minute. You claimed 2 months ago that you're healed of that. Now you're being healed of it again. So did it not? Wait, I didn't even know you were sick. I'd be sitting there going, what is going on here? Is everyone here delusional? Is everyone here insane? I don't understand that world. I don't get it. I really want to understand it. I really do want to understand it. But it's just like, it's like delusional insanity. And I've just seen so much evidence of it being fraudulent and fake. I've seen it so many times. And again, not just me. Anytime mainstream media goes and investigates all of this, they come back like, here's the person. Nope, we know they died. This person still has cancer. And then they release it. When the big supposed revival was going on in Florida, I don't remember. Always forget Lakeland, the Lakeland revival. There were multiple reports, not even just by secular media, by even Christian organizations who tried to follow up on the healings and find out that they didn't happen. They were fraudulent. Well, I mean, how many times does that have to happen before you call the whole movement into question?
Or a right you're asserting
right.
every time, but a relationship with the Lord that has beneficial for you and who you're becoming and the person you're praying for.
Exactly.
That
exactly
seems like we could probably use some more of that nuance sometimes when people run into our message a little bit. But again, we don't want to get so nuanced that we quit praying with faith or joy or integrity. So it's a bit of a dance, you know, when we do these things.
I don't want to create a theology around what didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's a really big deal for me. My approach to the faith things is out.
You may not want to create a theology about what didn't happen, but you need a theology that can explain and teach about why it didn't happen. Maybe because healing isn't guaranteed. Ever think about that? Ever think about that? Maybe your whole understanding of healing is broken from the very start. Hey, you know what? You know what? Hey, it doesn't happen. I don't want a theology based off what doesn't happen, but you got to have a theology that can at least account for why it doesn't happen over and 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 over again. Because I'm pretty sure, and see, let me look up the city of Redding, California. Let me see here. I'm just curious because, you know, maybe Redding, California. Okay, let me see here. Redding, California is population 91,000 people. All right, population 91,000 people. Okay, Redding, California. Redding, California Hospital. It looks like they have, I'm just looking here, Shasta Regional Medical Center, Vibra Hospital of Northern California, and Mercy Medical Center, Redding. So some of those may not be, I don't know exactly how close they're all located. So there's multiple medical facilities in Redding, California. Some of those are a little further down. I'm looking at a map here. So there's at least three major medical centers near Redding, California, or located right there in Redding, California. So why? They're in a population of what, 96,000 people. There's almost 11,000 people go to the church. 11,000 people go to the church. They're all being trained in how to do this. Why wouldn't those 11,000 people be emptying out those medical facilities? Why? I mean, and whenever I ask, charismatics get mad, but don't get mad at me. You're the one making the claim. Don't get upset at me. You're the one running around making these outlandish claims. Go do it. And when charismatics email me and want to fight with me, why do you want to argue with me? Go heal people. Don't get off the email. Go heal people. Go raise the dead. Empty the graveyard. Clean out the funeral homes. Come on. Empty out the cancer wards. Don't be emailing me. Don't. I'm telling you, if you're a charismatic and you want to argue, don't argue with me. Just go heal people. Go rid this world of death, disease, and make, I guess, heaven on earth. Oh, but you've already acknowledged that everyone's going to die, so that means there's always at least one thing that someone's not going to be healed of. So that means healing is not always guaranteed. So you've already backed up your belief to some level. Now you say healing is guaranteed. Well, but you acknowledge that it doesn't always happen. So it doesn't always happen. Then what's your excuse? Well, you don't want to blame people that it's because of a lack of faith, because supposedly you can have faith for both of them, but I guess it's not always your fault. You don't even have an explanation. You don't even have a meaningful explanation for it. But Redding, California, of a population of 96,000 people, we have 11,000 people who believe this nonsense. If the nonsense is true, Redding, California should be the city with the least hospitalizations, and there should be none. There should just be, the hospitals should be shut down. Don't go to the hospital in Redding, California. Go to Bethel Church, because supposedly, hey, they can fix you. Supposedly they can. Supposedly that if you fall off a cliff and they think you're dead, they won't even call 911. They're going to try to find you and heal you. And oh, when they find you, well, you're not dead, but oh, you're paralyzed. But guess what? Redding, the Bethel Church couldn't heal your paralysis. Imagine that. So not only were they going to wait to not call 911, but if you're paralyzed, they don't even have enough faith to heal you of your paralysis. Imagine that. Guess what? Because they can't do it. Man.
I'll tell people, I say, listen, faith brings answers. Enduring faith brings answers with character. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we're in a journey, we're in a process, yeah. and the Lord is building. He's building us. He's not just doing something through us. Yeah. It's not just about the miracle or the deliverance or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. It's about people becoming like Christ. Yeah. And enduring faith is a part of that. Power, you know, the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of power. Power was for the miracle, but it was also for the endurance until the miracle came. Mm-hmm. You see it all through the book of Acts. That both were manifestations. Mm-hmm. And so when the Holy Spirit has his way in us, it's going to be seen through demonstrations of power, faith, purity, lifestyle, but it's all going to be also going to be the endurance yeah. until the miracle comes.
Yeah. So you've mentioned enduring faith, and you know, as I think about this, like one of the amazing saints of our time has been Johnny Erickson Tada, and
yeah,
and I remember in the 70s when she had her accident, and she's, for those who don't know, an incredible heart for Jesus.
Yes.
Got to see her speak about just about 2 years ago, and was just so moved yeah. by the faith yeah. that she moves in, and the faith of her husband, who her caregiver. It was a wonderful experience to see this
yeah.
saint of the Lord speak. And I think about, you know, that her situation of not having a breakthrough in healing and just finding the heart of the Lord for her in this season as well. And as I contemplated, like, how would you respond? And I'm like, probably not that beautifully, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's been super honest about, hey, there's some days I hate it all, and I want to drive my caregivers away from me and all that. So she's been really transparent about this. But there's, I sometimes wonder in that deal of like, I would want to have faith that is enduring, like she's manifesting. Absolutely. I'd also want faith to still have somebody come in and lay hands on me every day or
yeah.
once a week. You know, I was yeah. trying to figure out how do we mix that beauty of what she's experiencing in the Lord in the midst of her trial with our love of breakthrough. And our love of the Lord alleviating suffering. Is that so? One of the ways I was kind of doing that was like, okay, I'd want to have faith like today could be the day. It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but today it could be the day.
Yeah.
But also that sort of coping, enduring faith. How do you?
How about you explain why she hasn't been healed? See, it's this weird charismatics. I can't even follow, like, if there was like a logical graph. It's just it would just be, the graph would just be broken. Like if there was a logical flow chart, there's no logic to anything they have. Healing is guaranteed. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, isn't it beautiful about Johnny Erickson Tada? Isn't it just so beautiful? And I mean, she's in a wheelchair and she's paralyzed and she suffers all this pain. Isn't it beautiful? But hey, healing is guaranteed. By his stripes we're healed. But I mean, you know, maybe she'll have people laying hands on her. How about this? She's never going to be healed, and she's going to die that way. How about a theology that can acknowledge that? How about a theology that can accept and that it's not God's will? Because if it was God's will, don't you think she would already have been healed by now? Oh, wait. And not forget Johnny Erickson Tada. There, you know how many other people are in wheelchairs who are paralyzed? In fact, let me see. Let me see if there's an estimation. Let me see here. I could be wrong. Let me see here. Let me go. See. How many? Hang on. Okay, well, I'll just go with veterans. Okay, see here if I can get the number. Okay, because the veterans, I've seen the number before. Let me see, I don't think I have the number here. Okay, wait, here we go. See here. Yeah, I don't think I have the number here. How many paralyzed? All right, let's see if I can get a number here. Okay, the report estimates that nearly 5.4 million persons live with paralysis in the United States. And the leading cause of paralysis includes stroke, spinal cord injury, MS, cerebral palsy, And they go on to some other things. So 5.4 million people are paralyzed. 5.4 million people. So even if you can say, well, here's one. Well, again, where is your theology that it by his stripes we are healed? And then their theology that you can have enough faith for you and the person you're healing. 5.4 million people. 5.4 million, and I don't even know that was in 2013. That was in 2013. Again, I could go through all these numbers. I mean, you can just look it up. Look up any kind of disease, cerebral palsy, MS. You just go through them all. Like how many people with this kind of cancer? The numbers are always staggering. Well, where's your theology? So you're supposed to be offering clarification. Your clarification is it is God's will to heal everyone. By his stripes we're healed, so God made provision for everyone to be healed. If a person doesn't have enough faith, that doesn't matter because the person praying for them can have enough faith for both, but not always. It could be because they're not forgiving people. So if they forgive people, they can be healed. Other than that, I can't get any clarification. I get some crazy stories that things supposedly happened, but no, obviously, proof of any kind. Because why would we offer proof? Because we can just throw out radical claims, because that's what we do as charismatics.
Can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
What I want to do is do two things. I want to make sure that I protect the dignity of her moment, the dignity of her life. She is so illustrating Christ. Oh, so I would never want to say or do anything that would make her or anybody in her condition. I have friends that I'm ministering to that are in very, very similar condition. Mm-hmm. And I would never want them to somehow feel less than or that they don't have enough faith or that somehow this is, you know, God's punishment on their life or that nonsense. I don't want to do that. But I also don't want to create a theology around what doesn't happen. Yeah. You know,
He's got no answer. I don't want to create a theology about what doesn't happen. You have to have a theology that acknowledges what doesn't happen. And so far, your theology is a train wreck. Let's see, so Christ made a provision for everyone. By his stripes we're healed. But you've not no explanation for why it doesn't happen. You've offered up possibility of lack of forgiveness. You've removed not having enough faith. But you claim that the person praying can have enough faith for both. So therefore, that would indicate that maybe there's a lack of faith on the person praying. So what's your answer? Come offer a theology here. This is a video about clarifying your beliefs. Clarify your beliefs about healing. Is it guaranteed or not? Was provision made or not? Now think about this. If on the cross, and I really want you to think about this because this to me is why I get not only I get ticked off because what this does to people, but I get ticked off because of the theological implications. I want you to think about this. Here on the cross, Jesus is dying on that cross. Remember, by his stripes, we're healed. So on that cross, let's think about it. We all know first and foremost that what he does on that cross is to save me, right? It's to take care of my sin. So if he made provision for my sin, was it sufficient? Did it work? Or do I got to go, well, I don't know. It kind of worked. Well, maybe I'm not sure it worked. Well, if you're going to take at the very same time that while he was making provision for my salvation, he was saving me from my sins, he also at the very same time was making provision for everyone's physical healing. But the provision he makes for his physical healing is ultimately not a guarantee. It doesn't always work, and it will not ultimately work when someone dies. Well, then why would I have any more, if I can't have any confidence in the provision for physical healing, because it's not always going to work, even they're acknowledging it doesn't always work. If that's the case, then why would I have any confidence in what he did for my salvation? If the physical healing provision doesn't really work, then why would I trust that it works for my eternal soul? You call into question his provision for my salvation because supposedly at the exact same time he's making provision for my physical healing. Well, guess what? Have a seizure disorder. It's never going to go away. Don't tell, and please don't tell me that I haven't prayed for it because I've prayed for it to go away many times. of all the neurological issues that it's caused me, all the different things it's caused me. So if the physical provision isn't there, if it's questionable, doesn't work, we're not so sure about it, and we can't really explain why it doesn't work, then I don't know why we would trust Christ to even save us. You're literally destroying everything, the whole work Christ did on the cross.
I don't have explanations at all. What I do have is Pool of Bethesda, you know. Mm-hmm. One guy was healed. History tells us there could be as many as 900, 1,000 people around that pool.
Yeah.
There's only one person healed. Does it mean that Jesus rejected the rest? No. Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't showing us. He was showing us what one person could do that was yielded to the Father. Mm-hmm. He was mm-hmm. illustrating that heart to us.
See, now, what did you just do? You just implied, so 900 were there. God didn't reject them, but he's demonstrating that one person yielded to God. So if the other 900 were yielded to God, so now you are putting the blame on the persons. How about maybe it wasn't God's will to heal the other 900? Have you ever think about that? Maybe he did not make provision for everyone's physical healing on this earth. He made provision for everyone's physical healing when we get to heaven and we have a new body and there's no more pain, suffering, and death. Have you ever thought, can you create a theology that is at least makes some kind of sense? So they don't want to blame people, and then they turn right back around and almost blame people. Well, there was at least possibly 900 there. Only one was healed. Well, I guess what he's demonstrating is what one person can do who's yielded to God. So if you're truly yielded to God, you'll be healed. Or maybe that was one historical situation that Christ was doing miracles, not so much to teach us about how miracles are done, but was to demonstrate who he was, demonstrating that he was truly God incarnate. Maybe the miracles were there as evidence of his deity, not as an example of how we are to heal people, because the last time I looked, we're not God. Wow, what a very hard concept to figure out.
And so the Bible celebrates the one in that moment without condemning the others. And this kind of a thing, well, I've got it in my own family. You know, my son is such a champion in faith and a champion of so many things, but he's got a hearing loss that is quite profound.
Yep.
And he functions so well in life. But I'll come home with testimonies of healing of deaf ears. He's prayed for the deaf and had them healed, you know. But I remember a while back in a staff meeting, I was sharing a story about several deaf people that could hear. And I looked over at my son, and he looked at me, and he mouthed, "We're one day closer, Dad." that just wrecked me.
Wow.
That he still has been able to protect his heart to not be jaded, you know, after this many years being prayed for so many times.
Yeah, some weird stories, too. People putting fingers in his ears and all this
sort of thing. We do all kinds of weird things as people.
We do all kinds of weird things. No, not we. You guys. You guys do weird things. You guys do bizarre things. Not the rest of us. We do not. Okay, so make sure you narrow that "we" down. The rest of us look at you like you're out of your minds. So he's got his own son. But healing's guaranteed. This is the most, I don't even know what to say. I know. I'll end with this because we're at an hour and 7 minutes, so I have to end. You can hear my frustration with this. You can. I know you can hear my frustration. I know you can hear my anger. I'm not going to deny. I get angry. I get upset about it. I can't apologize for that. I can't do anything about it. I don't even know what to say. It's just the reality of this doctrinal system is anathema to me. It is anathema to me. And you don't even know how deep my dislike for it goes. It is so, I cannot stand it. I cannot stand anything dealing with the charismatic world. But I also understand that I don't understand the way people think who are in it. I've had charismatics try their best to explain it. And it's just, you just look at them like, I mean, every time they try to explain, let's just listening to them. It makes no sense. Like, I'm just listening to this. It's all over the place. Okay, it is guaranteed, but it's not guaranteed, but blah, blah, blah. I mean, just all over the place. Just all over the place. I don't know what to believe about anything. This is not clarifying, but I've had charismatics try their best to either argue with me, debate, and I don't even know why they want to argue and debate me. You don't have to argue and debate me. Just go heal people. Just do it, all right? Just go do it. Right? And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Sooner or later, there'll be enough charismatic zillion people that the proof would be irrefutable, right? After all of this time, it would be irrefutable. CNN would be like, ladies and gentlemen, we have criticized and mocked Christianity, but all we can say is it's irrefutable now. Charismatics are healing people at such a normal, common rate that it's just, these cities where charismatic churches are prominent, people are getting healed. Hospitals they don't have any patients. It's just amazing. We can't refute it. Well, that doesn't happen because it's not occurring. But so charismatics don't argue with me. Just go prove me wrong. But I do like trying to hear them explain it to me. Like, how did you end up in that world of Christianity? And how does your rational mind process what you're seeing that doesn't work? There's so much inconsistency with what you see, with what you're claiming to believe. How do you not go, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. Because we are talking about tangible, real, meaningful proof, and I don't have any. And wherever I think I have it, I think I have it as long as I don't investigate it. But if I start investigating it, it disappears. So, I mean, they always have in their staff meetings, they talk, oh, I've got these stories here about healing. I've got these stories here about healing. They never bother to do any investigation. They don't ever bother to do any actual proof because so many of their stories would fall apart in seconds. How do you live that way? I don't get it. I do not understand the charismatic world. So I have to offer this clarification because someone's going to misunderstand. Am I saying God can't heal? No. God can do whatever he wants. He's God and I'm not him. But God obviously has not guaranteed physical healing on the earth here and now because it would be clearly demonstrated. So I think he made provision in the atonement for ultimate healing. That's where I'm going to get a glorified body. There'll be no more pain, no more suffering, and no more death. That I can count on. That I can do. If he wants to heal someone now, by all means, he can. Can I pray for someone to be healed? Absolutely. I can pray for someone to be healed. I can pray that if God's not God's will to heal them supernaturally, he will help bring healing through natural means, through medical intervention, through the wisdom of doctors, and through the miracle, the advancement of modern medicine. And I can pray for a lot of different ways for healing to occur. But it's just there's too many people suffering with serious physical ailments, and. Sadly, the majority, it's not going to go away and there's not going to be healing. I don't know what it will take. It's almost like, what does it take to wake a charismatic up? What does it take? I don't know. I mean, I watched the charismatics in the hospital claim God told them someone was going to be healed and the person died and they just move right along to the next person. They don't even care. It's almost like they're not even upset about it or broken. Oh, well, so what? I guess I was wrong about that. Next. Oh, yeah, God's going to heal you. Next. God's going to heal. Next. God, next. They just never stop. Man, if they were a doctor, they'd be sued for malpractice. They'd be out of work. That many failures. Charismatic doesn't stop. Just go find the next person. Just keep going on. Just keep going and going and going, making the promises, making the promises, making the promises, and destroying lives. That's the charismatic way. Yeah. All right. I'll stop right there. I may not do another one. I thought they were going to really dig into and offer. I mean, they're not even clarifying anything. So, I mean, if you want me to continue, I will. But if I don't get an email, I'm stopping because, I mean, we're not even done with video one, and this is just there's no clarification here. This is just an absolute mess. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know why they're doing this. They're not clarifying any. They're literally not clarifying anything. I mean, if this is clarification, I would hate to see what a video would be where you're trying not to clarify something. I don't even know. So I'll stop right there. You can let me know your thoughts. Email me, newsif@yahoo.com. newsif@yahoo.com. All right, I'm going to stop there. Apologize. Well, you know what? I don't really apologize for my frustration. You know what? I don't. You know, I sometimes feel bad when I get that upset, but I don't. Because this kind of stuff hurts human beings. It hurts human beings. So I don't get upset. I don't, I'm not going to apologize for getting upset. It should bother you. You should get upset. In fact, you should be upset at yourself if you don't get upset. Because this kind of teaching deals with human beings in real life, and it creates horrible pain, doubt, confusion, and despair. And it cannot be tolerated anymore. All right. God bless.